This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now here's Chopin the Bulldog with Micah Hyde.
Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. By Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney. Your ticket to justice.com. By Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. By Reed's Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, here with Bill safety Micah Hyde, Mike Chopin the Bulldog as well. Micah joins us every Monday at this time on the West Her Hotline. Micah, how are you today?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
What was yesterday like? Was yesterday, because of the opponent, like, significantly different in how you went about your job? Because what we've been talking about a lot last week into today is, like, look how the challenges that Baltimore presents and presented. What was it like to play against them?
Yeah, it was a lot of film study for sure. You know, they do a lot of stuff to try to trick your eyes, and you know that's why they've been so successful this season. Is they've been, you know, managing to do that. You know, get defenses confused on where the ball is, who has, you know, support, who has leverage. And then you know, that's where you see their big play. So, you know, we watched a lot of film last week. So last week was probably the most film I've ever watched, you know, in a week prep. Just because I wanted to go out there and be, you know, 100% certain on my keys and stuff. And even in the game, you know, I was, you know, in the right place a few times, and I still felt like, you know, oh, am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? But that's why that offense is so successful, is because there's a lot of stuff going on.
I think, you know, we've been watching the run-pass option with some running quarterbacks for a few years now in the league. But I got to tell you, Micah, it took for me until yesterday to really, I guess maybe I would give CBS some credit for this with some of the replays they showed, just how far a quarterback like Jackson goes to sell the fake to the running back. Like, I mean, yep. The ball is just, it is in there, and it's there's a pause even, and then it's coming out. And I mean, I just think that's got to be really tough.
Yeah, it is, and that's why you got to respect, obviously, the dive, handing it off to the running back, and also the quarterback keep. You got to respect both of them, because, you know, they do such a good job of, you know, like you said, holding it in there. You don't know who really has it, so that's why you got to have, you know, a hat on a hat, a guy on a guy, and make sure that whatever they end up doing, we have somebody, you know, there for that that certain situation. But even with that, you know, you have to be able to tackle them. You have to be able to get them down. I mean, I feel like yesterday we were in, you know, the good position majority of the time, but there were sometimes we'd be in a position and they just, you know, they'd make plays, and that's what you see them, you know, doing all season. And, you know, I think the good thing about yesterday is we, you know, limit them on big plays. You know, I think a lot of the runs that Lamar Jackson has had and, you know, the previous whatever games we have this year is they've 30 plus, you know, yards and all that. So we kind of limit him to a few 7-yard runs, a few 10-yard runs, maybe 11-yard run, but it was nothing really out the gate. Well, I think his first run of the game was maybe about 15, 16. But you know, other than that, there was really nothing that was out of the gate that you know, punished us too bad.
Right. He had a 16-yard run, and then he had 24 total for the rest of the game. Really, there was only one play, rushing or passing, that did big damage, and that's the touchdown to Hurst. Micah, talk us through that play, if you would. It looks like maybe you and Poyer are signaling with each other before the play on one angle I saw, and then also chasing him. I wonder if you thought that you were going to get there.
Well, yeah, I think it was miscommunication on that play. You know, we were, I think anybody that watched that play can tell we were, had no single high safety during that play. And, just miscommunication, miscommunication on that play. And, obviously that's something that you can't do when we don't have a safety in the middle of the field. And then, after he caught it, watching all the film that I did this week, 81's fast. He's a fast guy. When he caught that ball, he was in stride running. Did I feel like I had a shot to get him? Yeah. But he was rolling on that play.
How challenging? I mean, you went so deep on talking last week with us about studying film and just different things that you look for. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form asking you to rehash that. But in preparing to play this team, and it really is, it's obvious when you watch them play in person. Like the receivers, I mean, they're there. They have receivers on the field, but they're just not really much of a factor in the game at all. I mean, I recognize Snead caught a touchdown, but mm-hmm. like as far as like targets go and like their passing game, it's really the tight ends in the middle of the field.
Yeah. I mean, I think they keep it simple for Jackson. They don't stretch the field, I guess you could say. They kind of keep everything in between the numbers, and makes his reads a little more easier, which, like I said, they've been so successful doing. But even those receivers don't have 100 yards a game and all that type of stuff, they're still impact on the game just from what they're able to do with the motioning, and they're all really good blockers, and obviously you need that with the way they run the ball. The receivers are definitely a factor, but you don't have guys that are going for 100 a game that are going to have well over 1,000 a season.
Did you talk to him at all, Jackson?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay. Do you have a certain philosophy on that? Like plenty of guys in the league at this point, of course. Would mm-hmm. you like ever want to go up to somebody for whatever reason, like to try to I don't know, do anything? Any strategy in like talking to guys on the other team?
You mean like talking junk?
Sure. Okay. Or I don't know, anything to throw them off.
No. I think obviously the flow of the game. Something happens. There's a lot of trash talk that's going on the field. But me personally, I don't really go out my way to talk trash to people. I just kind of stay in my lane. If something comes to me, then hey, it's a physical game. It's an aggressive game. That everybody gets worked up out there, then it may happen. But I think that with myself, my opinion, I just go out there and try to do my job.
What would you say? Like, say you were the DB on the play where Cole Beasley flopped and got the interference. Would you say anything to him in that situation? And what's the worst example of someone ever doing that to you?
Oh, I mean, yeah. If I was that DB, I'd for sure say something. But it wouldn't matter because the flag's a flag,
right?
But as far as the worst situation myself, if someone flopping or selling something like that, I don't know. Nothing's coming off the top of my head. Okay. There's plenty of calls in a game where. I can't think of one. Obviously going against Gronk, a few times. He's a push off guy. So, as soon as he gets his arm, into your chest, he wants to, run a couple more yards and then just push off. And so there's a few times, I think that it was one game in New England where it got called, this guy's how tall, how much he weighs, against me. I feel like I'm a soccer player that's playing football. And, He pushed off, and I kind of grabbed his arm a little bit, and he just flared a little bit, and obviously got the call. They threw the flag, and I'm just like, come on, man! You got Tom Brady yelling, that was a pass interference, and I'm like, you guys are, yeah, this is ridiculous. But hey, the refs see what they see, and you gotta go from there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's part of the game. There's not. I guess. On one hand, there's not a lot of honor in embellishing a penalty, but. There's also a certain level of gamesmanship involved in it. Like you're just looking for an edge, right? So, like if you commit an infraction and a guy enhances it and gets the flag, I mean, you still did something to he put you in a tough spot by doing that. But I mean, that's how it goes, right?
Yep. And yeah, exactly. And I think the good ones, the good receivers in the league, just they know how to do that. They know how to, you know, if it's going to be a tough catch, and you know the ball is coming down and you're not looking at the ball, they're just going to jump and basically grab you and pull you into their chest and try to reach their arms around you, and you're not looking back. So it's going to get called every single time because you're not looking back at the ball, you know, and the receiver, there's contact, all that stuff. So, you know, the good receivers in the league, the good tight ends, you know, the good running backs, whoever, they know how to do that type of stuff to, you know, especially in our league where the wherever the penalty is, that's where you get the ball, and, you know, it's huge.
With Micah Hyde of the Bills, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here on WGR. One thing that's somewhat related to what we were talking about before with Baltimore and some of the run-pass option stuff is this growing, I think anyway, Micah, this growing understanding in the sport of how play action works, whether the offense has run the ball well that day or that season or not. This seems sort of like a new ground for people in the sport who might have always thought you have to establish the run first and then you can work play action off of that. But what some of the math has shown here is that it really doesn't matter that much, at least whether you do that. I heard Chris Collinsworth, who is also with Pro Football Focus or part owns it, say the other day, it's just a fact now. We know that. We've learned this, that play action is useful and effective whether or not the team is good at running the ball or not. What are your thoughts on that?
You were just saying all that, and I guess that's news to me.
All right.
You know, I feel like, I feel like as a defensive player, if they're not running the ball well, then I'm not gonna be sucked in, you know, on the run. I'm not gonna step up, you know, to and be so eager, you know what I'm saying, to fly down and stop the run because I'm not worried about it. They're not running the ball well, so, you know, in return I can stay back and expect that play action, expect that guy to be coming to me, you know, that with those receivers to come to me. So I don't know really what stats or facts or whatever, you know, was presented on TV or whatever, but I feel like, you know, in order to have a really good play action game, you know, the run has to coincide with it.
You know, Mike, it's something that a friend of mine texted me during the game. This is the kind of thing that I think maybe a lot of fans might think that they've cracked some code or something. And I want to circle back to studying, you know, looking at tape before a game. We're like halfway through the second quarter, and my phone buzzes, and it's a message from my friend. I won't name him. And it says, "Watch Jackson. When his mouth guard is in, he keeps it. When the mouth guard isn't in, he doesn't keep it." And I'm thinking, how do you see his mouth guard every time, already have this hypothesis? We're like, you know, 20 minutes into this game and you've already decided that this is happening. But I don't know, I just thought to ask you, like, is that the kind of, is that something that you might notice watching, you know, weeks and weeks worth of tape of a guy before you play him?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can kind of get some clues, you know, on a receiver if his, you know, right foot is up and it's normally his left foot, you know, he might be running this route and doing that. I think I was watching a Monday night game or a Sunday night game one of the times, and Collinsworth was talking about somebody reaching for his towel.
Jackson.
Was it Jackson?
Every time
he reached for his towel, was a throw?
Yes, it was the New England game. I was going to mention that.
Yes, yeah. So, and I guess it was like, you know, he said the previous – how many times, you know, it held true, and then I guess that, you know, they were still paying attention to it. And then one time, you know, he did it and it was a run or something like that. So, mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, the percentages are showing that when he touches his towel, he's throwing the football. Yeah, you know, people may see that, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of, you know, most of the time 20 yards deep, so I can't really tell if he's touching the towel or not anyways. But, you know, there are some tips and clues that you're able to pick up throughout the week of, you know, some guys that are possibly doing certain things to try to give you some clues. But I mean, that's stuff that you have to really, really dive into and really, you know, that's what, you know, studying the film and studying, you know, individually how you're looking at a guy. If you have a matchup, that's kind of the stuff that you look for. You know, if he comes off the line, takes his, you know, first step outside, then, you know, maybe he might possibly run an inside route. You know, there's certain things that you want to pay attention to.
I don't really want to ask you anything too pointed here about all the blitzing in the game. Both teams seem to do a lot of it. I just wonder like what your thoughts are on how this game played out in that way. It basically ends with Baltimore bringing the house, you know, over and over and getting away with it.
I think that, you know, when you have you feel like you have guys in the back end that can, you know, handle their own, and even the guys up front that can get after the quarterback, you know, it kind of limits the clock, you know, the clock that's going off in our, you know, in a DB's head, you know, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three, it ball has to come out. You know, it makes it, you know, tougher on us because we're in zero coverage, but it also can, you know, be easier because we know the ball has to come out or the quarterback's getting sacked. So there's pros and there's cons to you know, running, you know, blitzes. You know, I'm sure you guys are well aware of that, but you know, I think that in, you know, the end of the Baltimore game, I feel like they were just comfortable with, you know, the matchups. They were comfortable with, you know, their DBs going out there making a play, and that's why you saw them do that.
I think they're impressive. I think the Bills are better. They've gotten better in certain of these areas themselves. The Ravens are impressive for some of the, like, the things that you didn't think of. One such thing from yesterday would seem to be they had Chuck Clark, one of their defensive players, literally walk around as the Bills were lined up on offense, Micah, walk around the offense and stand behind Allen, basically taking the offside penalty near the goal line on purpose, presumably to give his defensive guys a breather. And then they also jumped offside on the next play, and it ended up that the Bills did score a touchdown on that drive, but not until third down. So there's some different thinking.
Man, you guys see everything. I had no idea that even happened. I was, you know, we're on the sideline making adjustments, trying to see what we can do to, you know, go out there and you know, play better and all that stuff. I had no idea that stuff was going on. So, you know, you guys, whether you're watching a TV copy or even at the game and you guys see all this stuff, yeah, you guys are well aware. I feel like I should be asking you guys questions on what happened throughout the game.
I don't know. I'd be too nervous to answer that.
I don't have that many notes, Mike. I mean, I got a couple things, but I've almost emptied my notebook.
Me too. I've asked you everything I have.
I got to the mouth guard thing. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty much tapped out. Really. The Steelers. I mean, it's Sunday night, and like this is for the fans, it's a super cool thing that you guys got flexed into that game, and I would bet for the players it's pretty cool too.
Oh yeah, it definitely is cool. And anytime you get flexed and put into a you know, prime time slot, that's obviously means you're doing well, so you appreciate that. You know, I just think it's a huge game for us, obviously a huge game for them too. You know, they're trying to make it to the playoffs, and you know, we're in the same boat also, and just a huge game, huge opportunity for us to go to Pittsburgh. And it's going to be a great atmosphere. You know, December football, Sunday night in Pittsburgh, that's what you dream about. So we're all excited. You know, obviously the losing yesterday wasn't ideal, but, you know, it's a 24-hour rule. You know, flush it, move on, and it's going to be a fun game to play in.
You don't have – I wonder how this cuts. If it's a positive or a negative, maybe there's a little bit of both. There's not a lot of Hodges out there, right? He's only played a few games here, so maybe there's not as much to pour over, but there also might not be as much certainty about what he's capable of.
Yeah, I mean, we had the same situation, against the Broncos. You know, a guy that didn't have too many starts, and you know, we went out there and, you know, just tried to compete with what we had on tape. So, you know, we're gonna have that same situation. You know, they've been winning. So, you know, you got to give them credit for that. And it's a tough football team. You know, it's a Pittsburgh Steeler football team that you're playing in December. So you know they're gonna, you know, Tomlin's gonna have them ready. You know, they're had that same mindset we do. You know, bring your hard hat to work. And like I said, it's just a good opportunity for us to go out there and compete.
It's the first Bills night game of the season. What will you do all day Sunday?
Well, you know, I'm sure Coach will have us, you know, getting out of bed and getting out of hotel rooms, maybe walk around the hotel room, having a walkthrough or something. I'm really not sure yet. But, you know, they'll make sure that, you know, everybody be rested up and ready to go for a long night.
All right, Micah. Any questions for us? I guess you already said you might need some next time.
For real.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think I'm good, man. All right, guys.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck against the Steelers.
Of course. Appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you later.
There you go. That is Micah Hyde, his weekly appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York, by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, yourtickettojustice.com, by Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices, by Reed's Gents, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
All right, Sean McDermott's press conference is underway or already happened, one of the two. We'll check to see what he said and get that to you, whatever's newsy from it. 803-0550 is the number for your calls, too. I guess that's the rest of the day. So let us know how you're feeling. The season, the game yesterday, there was a lot of interesting strategy and big moments in that game yesterday. 803-0550. Before we do any of that, a quick reminder for my friends at the Woodhouse Day Spa, Main Street in Williamsville. The Woodhouse is this beautiful and still relatively new, only a couple years old, if even that, facility in a new building right across from Williamsville South High School. And I don't have a lot of like lifetime experience with spas, but I know from going to the Woodhouse a few times and trying some of the different treatments, how really excellent it was. Not only does it feel good, but it's smart and interesting, and that appeals to me. See if they can get you to relax. That was not always the easiest for them to do with me. This holiday season, purchase a $300 gift card to the Woodhouse, and you'll also receive an exquisite cable knit throw blanket. This is valid while supplies last and only on in-spa purchases. To learn more about the promotion, visit buffalo.woodhousespas.com or to learn more about the spa in general. The phone number is 458-5700. 458-5700 for the Woodhouse.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No, I'm frustrated by loss. Forget hanging with the team. If we wanted to just hang with the team, we could lose every game and hang with every team, but ultimately we're here to win. That's the most frustrating part.
Ed Oliver right there. Lines open for your comments. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, 803-0550. I also thought last night, I was watching the Sunday night game carefully like I usually do. Fantasy, you know. It's the fantasy playoffs. It's the pancake breakfast. Ron's going to be there. It's the pancake breakfast. It's the fantasy playoffs. So I watched the Sunday night game pretty carefully and skipped halftime. Never heard, like I just realized in the fourth quarter, like I've not heard one mention of next week. You know, like if it's their game and maybe I missed it or maybe they just have not promoted it for some reason. I sort of started thinking then the way people do when they think of this in the first place, which is if there were Green Bay and New England, I don't know. They did put the Bills on, but it was like right after that that I saw the first and only graphic. Again, I was told that I missed it at halftime, but I can't watch these halftimes.
Yeah, they do use halftime to pump up the next week's game quite frequently, and the pregame show too. They did. They went deep on Ravens Bills highlights on that on the Football Night in America highlight show. And then, you know, after that, of course, you know, yeah, the Bills, by the way, next Sunday, you know, all that. Like, so they did get, to my eyes, I watched that show pretty regularly, the pregame, like 7 to 8:15 window. And it was the most Bills highlights, not surprisingly, because they're on Sunday night this coming week. And there were a ton of Bills highlights from the game, but they spent a lot of time on Bills-Ravens.
I caught the end of that show because of, like, I needed to duck Russell Wilson, fade Russell Wilson last night. And I was saying all week, like, this is just the worst guy in the league to have not score points in your fantasy game is Russell Wilson, because he just always does. And last night I got really lucky because he just didn't. So I was there 8:15 or whatever time, and I was there for the picks. And yes, I mean, I think you knew this. NFL broadcasts still kind of do picks, and they maybe even are a little bit serious about it. So they showed a graphic of everybody. They have like eight people or six or seven people doing picks every week. And they have America on the left. The first one you see on the list is America's pick.
Oh, okay.
So I guess you can vote online or something. And not one winning record. No point spreads. Not one winning record. I should have looked to see what the favorites are in those Sunday night games. Because
yeah,
you should probably have a winning record just picking the favorites.
Yeah.
But you know, these guys can't just do that because they played football and they know more than everybody else. So they have to put some analysis into it. It's getting them nowhere.
I think I saw a still shot of that screen when they had everybody's records up there.
I gave you one.
Oh, it was you. Okay.
Yes.
Rodney Harrison might be 3-9.
3-11?
Three, whatever.
3-9?
Oh, no. Yeah, there'd be extra games there because of the Thursday.
You might be right.
Yeah, whatever. It's
three wins.
Right. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Who played more football than that guy?
Right. Right.
Why shouldn't he know more than the rest of us?
I don't get it.
It's almost like it wouldn't make sense for him to know
right.
The future any better than the rest of us. But, you know, just pick the favorites.
Right.
Can't do that. A child would. My kids would. Garnet, just pick the favorites. Okay. She'd be in first place. Probably. All right, so, yeah.
Occasionally Rams on that show, Tirico will say, I'm playing the game here. I'm trying to win, so I don't really like whoever. I don't really like their chances tonight, but I'm trying to make up ground. Or I'm going to go against everybody. Everybody else is picking one team. I'm going to pick the other side just because I'm trying to win this stupid contest.
He did that the first game of the year.
Okay.
By the way, he did that exact thing the first game of the year. It was like Bears, Packers. Bears, and it went to Tirico, and he's like, you guys are all picking the Bears, I'll take the Packers then. And I liked him, I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's smart. It's actually some kind of thinking that isn't the obvious.
Right.
I think this team will run the ball down. None of the dumb stuff that you always get. So that's good, but he still doesn't have a winning record.
No. But at the same time, if you think if the Bears and Packers are playing and everybody picks the Packers, and you're like, well, I think the Packers are going to win, but I'm going to pick the Bears. You're not really picking the Bears. The idea of picks is who you think is going to win.
So if you
think the Packers is going to win, that's your pick. So I don't like how Tirico does it. I think he's a cheat.
Here's how you should do it. I have no idea who's going to win the night. Who's favored? Okay. How many millions of people have helped to establish this line? I'll go with them. I'd be in first. 803-0550, our number. Here is Craig next. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, Craig. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question. I've only listened today during drive time this morning and then this evening. I haven't heard anybody address McDermott not throwing the challenge flag on that pass interference.
Well, he could have.
Yeah, I mean, don't we have anybody watching TV?
Of course they do. They absolutely do. I mean, I think this was on TV. Yes, in fact, I'm positive it was. They came back from the end of the quarter time out there, so they even had extra time, which is worth noting. I mean, they didn't just have to rush because the quarter ended on that play. So they had all that time during the commercial break, and when CBS came back from the commercial break, they were the only person on the screen was McDermott. They were showing him, and he looked to be talking to someone in the headset, and at one point he reached towards his left back pocket. I don't know where he keeps his challenge flag. I've not studied this, but in my head I'm thinking he's going for the challenge flag. They're telling him to go ahead and do it. And he ended up not throwing it, obviously. I thought it was worth challenging, if you're interested in mine or our opinion about it. I thought it would have been worth a challenge. You know, those don't get overturned a lot, but you're not moving the ball, and it was like a free 50 yards if you get it, and there definitely was contact. I don't know if it would have been, you know, if it raised to the level of clear and obvious enough for them to, you know, change the call on the field that was made, but the guy definitely made contact with Foster before the ball got there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that as a potential 14-point swing. We would have still kept the ball and been driving, and we give it back to the Ravens, and they go down and get a touchdown.
Well, it could have been maybe not a swing because you don't have any control over what Baltimore is going to do, unless you're one of these fans who thinks that like they would have been really scared had the Bills scored instead or something. But you had control of the ball and would have had 50 more yards to work, you know, down the field had you been right. You don't know if you're going to be right. It's really frustrating. What are the fans supposed to think about that? You are starting to see a couple of them overturned. And there was one in Cleveland yesterday that was big and not at all blatant, but still like, okay, that's overruled now. So what are teams supposed to do? It's just really bad. The league has done a terrible job with all that. You should never have had pass interference, as we said every day when it came up. You should never have had it brought into the fold as far as replay is concerned. It's only problems. And this is one of the obvious problems that was easily foreseeable, and they didn't care or think of it. I don't know which it is. Because there's always penalties. If an obvious holding penalty isn't called, think of how we got here. So there was obvious pass interference in the NFC Championship with the game on the line, and the league went, got to do something. What if instead of pass interference, it was a guy comes in and he's got the quarterback lined up on its fourth down, and the game is on the line, and the offensive tackle just has no choice but he just grabs him around the neck and hog ties him, and the quarterback gets the pass off, and it's a touchdown, and that team wins. You don't think the league is going to spend the next 6 months talking about whether they need to include holding in review? So then they will, and then you'll have constantly, even worse than pass interference, constant replays that either show you holding when it wasn't called, or worse, show you from different angles, and one of them it looks like there was holding, and one of them looks like there wasn't. And then we'll sit here again and waste more time trying to fix that, and then we'll realize we don't really want to fix regular season games like this, so we'll just get all, you know, yes, it was a penalty, just like this. Yes, it was a penalty, but we're not going to call it anyway. I mean, great, great league, really, great league, great job with this. Easily avoidable, easily foreseeable, if you just had any interest in figuring out what was likeliest to happen. And I don't know, did they and just not care or what? They felt like it was good for their image to make it look like they were transparent and we had a mistake, so now we have to make sure we don't have the next mistake. When has that ever worked? Oh, we're going to have replay now because there are bad calls in games. Replay is just a major headache that constantly does not fix the call or just, you know, whatever. Like, right. It doesn't work.
I mean, I think you could accuse the Bills of not, you know, not using every method at their disposal to try to gain an advantage in this game. I mean, the penalty is, you know, it's not insignificant to lose a timeout, as it turns out in this game, and you had no way of knowing this as the fourth quarter was just beginning. At the time, it's a close game. It still ended up being a close game, but nonetheless, the Bills ended up not using one of their timeouts. So if they had donated one there to the cause of trying to get a free call, a free 50 yards or so, so be it. You know, like, to me, I would have defended them using it there. I'm really even with what we know about the proclivity of the league to not overturn those calls or make the call if there's not one made, it still, to me, would have been worth it. You know, and if the timeout came back to bite them, then we'd be arguing about that probably.
Yep.
But yeah, because that's the way the football works. But bottom line to me, I can understand a reluctance to throw the flag because of what I just said about how the league has been handling them. But nonetheless, you got a game here, and dare them to not make the call. You know, you're in
your
right.
Own stadium,
right? You're in the right. The guy definitely made contact with your receiver. How egregious it was is up to you. But you're daring them to not give you that call, and you would have been, I think you would have had some reason to feel like you were righteous in doing that. So I would have thrown the flag.
Right. Thank you, Craig. You were right to raise your hand because that was a big play. Tony is next. Hello, Tony.
Yeah, hi. I just want to run this past you guys. At the end of the first half, you know, before the Bills kicked that field goal, they're calling timeouts for some reason. They left 25 seconds on the clock, which allowed Baltimore to, you know, have 25 seconds left and run that misdirection, like trick play. Why didn't they just let the clock run out and then kick a field goal?
I was thinking, I don't know if this is right, but this was my thinking at the time yesterday, that they weren't sure whether it was Allen who called the timeout, whether they might go for it. And so the timeout, there's probably an instinct to do it, and you just do it. And then you might think about it after that, but it's too late. So what was it, fourth and whatever it was? Like I thought maybe they were sort of in between on that. I don't know.
And it was. What was it, a 48-yard field goal? So you might understand if the quarterback is thinking, are we sure we want to do this? Because Hauschka's not had a great year, and he was coming off a tough game in Dallas on Thanksgiving. So maybe there would have been some pause there.
How'd you like Baltimore's next play?
I got to be honest with you. I got up and there. I went to go get beef on Weck, and I kind of missed that play at the
end. Did you see that, Tony? Did you see what Baltimore did on that play with 20 seconds or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We're faked out.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Thanks for bringing this up. They were in like kneel down formation. They had Willie Snead way behind Jackson, and they snapped the ball. And Justice Hill was the running back on this play. Jackson sort of runs to his right, like, oh, they're going to run a play here. And then I was faked out. Hill goes left, like a total misdirection kind of run. And he might have got, I don't know, 15 or 20 yards. Okay. But the Bills are a very responsible team. And even that play could have, if they get another 10 yards there and get out of bounds, they might have time. I mean, they have Justin Tucker. And the Bills did not get burned there. Like, they're a very responsible team. Well coached in that way. 803-0550. Buffalo Bills Football Monday continues. And aren't we all happy about that?
I am.
It's dark already. Not even five.
Yeah.
OmahaSteaks.com, everyone. The holiday gift families across America have loved for more than a century. Omaha Steaks, right now with a great limited-time holiday offer for WGR listeners, with plenty of time on your holiday shopping to spare. OmahaSteaks.com, enter the code WGR in the search bar for the favorite gift package, the gift everyone loves, for only $69.99. My wife is a vegetarian, and I talk about how convenient Omaha Steaks is for my family. One of her coworkers went, wait a minute. He went up to her at her work and said, aren't you a vegetarian? What does he mean? What I mean is she has to hustle home from work with the kids and then get them to Boy Scouts or basketball or hockey. And this is fast, and they'll eat it and they'll like it. And that's most of the game. 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board, too, all for $69.99. Don't wait. The offer ends soon. Go to OmahaSteaks.com, type WGR in the search bar for the favorite gift package.
Well, just his demeanor, like the way he treats everybody. He's honest, he's fair, demanding, fun, extremely good motivator. He's a guy that everybody wants to play for. And I know talking to the guys that were in Edmonton that had him, I didn't hear one bad thing about him. So I know that, he's very well liked, and, he's pushing us to be better and appreciative that we have him.
I think I know.
I do too. I definitely know.
Oposo.
Yep.
He scored. Scored a couple.
2 games in a row.
Sabres win 1 of 3 in Edmonton, in Canada, Western Canada. They win the game in Edmonton after 2 losses and are still hanging around in the standings. Yeah. They'll have the Blues tomorrow night here.
They came home with 3 points out of 6 because they did get the game to overtime on Saturday afternoon in Vancouver.
Nice little comeback.
Yeah.
To do that. 6-5.
It was a fun game to watch. I'm sure it wasn't a whole lot of fun for Carter Hutton, but it was fun to watch.
Let's go to Lou next. Hi, Lou.
Good evening, gents.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I want to first qualify this call with, like many of the Bills fans out there, I'm extremely happy with what I'm seeing this year, excited about the potential for the playoffs. But I had two glaring issues with yesterday's game, and then I think the biggest one is the fact that Dable and McDermott, for that matter, had 10 days to game plan for Baltimore. And the effort on the offensive game plan yesterday was extremely inept. And I feel at times they kind of left Josh Allen hang out to dry. When Singletary almost got 90 yards yesterday and running, they should have adjusted and changed their game plan. But it was a constant beat down to this young quarterback, and I don't think it was necessary. I think some changes could have been made. That's my first comment. And the second one is that prospective pass interference call, he should have challenged that. That's just too close not to challenge, especially seeing that we couldn't move the ball on that team. I can't understand why he didn't throw the flag on that. Did he respond to anybody today during the press call on that? I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, Lou.
I've not yet seen it referenced. I'm buzzing through Twitter here trying to catch up and see if it got brought up. I'm sure we will find out pretty soon if it did. I'd be stunned if it didn't, but I just have not yet seen it, so I don't have anything for you there.
By the way, the point the caller makes toward the end there, the point about like they're not moving the ball against them is valid. That's a factor, and so is that it was like a 50-yard play. It's a different
– right.
It's not all like all these pass interference calls, you just sort of flip a coin and find out whether it should be reversed. But that there was a lot more on the line there with that one.
Yeah, I don't necessarily always support, well, it was whatever, take a shot, right? Like that, you hear that a lot about challenges that go awry to sort of defend the coach's decision-making. Like I thought it was worth a try. And to me, not everything is. But that was that qualifies to me. That meets the criteria. You're in a tough game. You're not moving the ball well. It's still a one score game. So you know it's a 50-yard play. And there was kind of, it wasn't like it was a phantom. You wouldn't have been just throwing the challenge flag, hoping that there might have been there was contact. Just how much how you know willing to change the call the league would have been. You don't know unless you challenge it. So I don't know what he was told, and I do hope we find out. Look, I think on the schematically speaking, you gotta hit your plays. You know, like John Brown was open running from left to right, right across the crest of the field. I think on maybe the Bills' first or second possession of the game. You hit that throw, and maybe Baltimore changes what they're doing. Your alternative is to change up your personnel, bring more tight ends into block or an extra lineman even, and then you're limiting what you're putting out in the pattern and maybe limiting how quickly you can move, and they've been moving at a pretty good clip with the no huddle or the sugar huddle, as you've been calling it. And I do like that the Bills stayed with the personnel grouping that they've had the most success with lately, rather than try to bow down to what Baltimore does. And I think the proof is in that the plays were there. You just got to be able to hit them. And that's not Dable's fault to me. I mean, if asking your quarterback, who you invested heavily in, to hit open receivers with pressure coming in his face is too much to ask, then you got a bigger problem than your schematics, in my opinion.
We'll take more of your calls right after sports in just a few minutes.
All right. Right now I'm here to talk to you about beer. Yeah, once again, my buddies at Community Beer Works, they are one of many local businesses that are community-minded and giving back to the community. And, you know, as an example here, Community Beer Works, here's what they've done. They make this fantastic beer. You should really go, just buy it in the store. Go check them out at their Westside Tap Room. I mean, it's just a fantastic space, and there's lots and lots of beer there, and always like special short-batch, small-batch beers too, in addition to the ones that they can and put out in the stores. Anyway, Here's what they did with Andre Reed, Pro Football Hall of Famer. They partnered with him. They made this beer called Let's Go Pills, and they are donating a portion of the proceeds from the sales of that beer to Andre Reed's Reed with Reed 83 Foundation, which is helping kids right here in our community. Now, that's the kind of thing I think, you know, most Western New Yorkers would want to get behind and support by buying this beer. The good news is you can find it just about everywhere. Bars and restaurants, examples like the Draft Room, Dinosaur Barbecue, or where you go to stock up your fridge, like, for example, the Lexington Co-op. So this Sunday, any other day, tonight, today, on the way home, whatever, no matter which Western New York community you call home, choose the Buffalo Local beer that makes an impact where you live. That's Community Beer Works, a proud part of the Buffalo Local family of beers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.